Welcome to the Permabyte for Monday, June 9th, 2014, presented by the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann, a listener-supported program. Today's show is a recap of my experiences at the 2014 Native Plants in the Landscape Conference at Millersville, which was held on the campus of Millersville University. Before we get started, I'd like to thank everyone involved with organizing and presenting this conference for welcoming me and including me in the process, answering my questions as they arose, and making my time there so successful. I couldn't have done this without their support. As a small, mostly volunteer organization, everyone involved pulled off a great event. I'm able to attend and report on events like this, and others, because of your support as a listener. If you'd like more episodes like this in the future, please make a one-time or ongoing contribution to the show. You can find out how to do that by going to thepermaculturepodcast.com/support. Though the conference normally spans 3 days, the way my schedule worked out, I was only able to attend the sessions on Friday, June 6th. But man, oh man, what a day it was. I really enjoyed the way that things were broken out, as there were a series of concurrent sessions where there were 4 different classes happening at once. And then that was interspersed with sessions where everyone from the event could attend, with lots of nice breaks throughout the day where people could get to know one another, and plenty of time to take lunch and plan the rest of one's day, or spend some time talking with the people who were involved. I wound up bouncing around from many of the different sessions to get the information on what was happening, what people were saying, what was going on. So I wound up covering most of the presentations in bits and pieces. And here are my thoughts from everything that I was able to attend, and how you can find more information on each of the presenters detailed. I started my day on Friday a little late, after dropping my kids off at school and getting on the road to go down to the event, and attended Dick Brown's Planting Pollinator Meadows lecture. I really enjoyed his presentation because it reflected on my own work on creating an intentional meadow, where before there was only lawn. As Mr. Brown is a retired 8th grade science teacher, his experience as an educator came through because he had a very well-prepared talk and an excellent handout to accompany that conversation that was clear and articulate about what he does, his goals, and how he goes about doing it. I also smiled at various times in his presentation because he referred back to the foraging lecture that had been given on Thursday by John Darby and Ben Wise. Not only was Dick there as a speaker, but also as a participant to learn more and apply what he learned to his own passion. Mr. Brown also shared how he uses fire in the management of his meadow creation, which piqued the interest of my inner 12-year-old. I remembered my time spent by a campfire and how beautiful it was. Here he was presenting a way that we can use it as a tool to create even more beauty. And though it might seem counterintuitive, to use fire as a way to heal the landscape. Along the way, he also shared with us how to collect seed, what seed to collect, how to identify plants, how to train volunteers, how to label seed, how to prepare a bed. It was very detailed, yet incredibly approachable, given the amount of information that he shared with us in such a short amount of time. Mr. Brown runs the blog Native Plant Action Network at nativeplantactionnetwork.blogspot.com if you'd like to find out more information. Next up in my tour of the conference was Dr. Elizabeth Farnsworth, who was talking about a tool she and others created called Go Botany that can help you to identify and learn about 3,500 different plants in a database that was created by scientists for everyone to use. This is a tool for children and adults. And one piece that she shared with us that I found really was pretty amazing and stood out in this world of automated responses and links to FAQs was that if you're going through the Go Botany site and you have questions and reach out to the organization, you will be reaching a live human being who is actively involved in doing plant identification and education work. You can interact with the people who are populating the Go Botany database and receive an answer from someone educated in this topic. Go Botany is a great tool if you live in or near the northeastern United States, from Pennsylvania through Maine and surrounding areas. but I also see it as a useful tool for the wider audience of anyone interested in plants, foraging, and wild foods anywhere in the world where you might encounter some of the species, the 3,500 species detailed in the database. Overall, Dr. Farnsworth was an incredibly dynamic, passionate, and engaging presenter. She really cares about this material and was continually humorous in her lecture. Though I didn't make it to hear her later talk about the role of citizen scientists, I'm looking forward to speaking with her about both that topic and the GoBotany tool and how we, as permaculture practitioners and enthusiasts, can add to the body of scientific knowledge. You can find out more about the GoBotany project and Dr. Farnsworth at gobotany.newenglandwild.org. Third in my tour of the conference was Eric Tonesmeyer, and I'll admit that I didn't get to spend as much time listening to his presentation as I would have liked because of wanting to cover as much of the event as I was able to, but I will say this about Eric. He's good. He's really good at what he does and is even more engaging in person. The first few minutes of his presentation, he spent getting to know the audience, who was familiar with the conversation that would follow, and then used that to set up the expectations for his talk and where he would lead everyone over the next hour. And he began the conversation by showing some very personal on-the-ground project work and pictures from that, and starting the conversation about perennial agriculture and involving natives in that conversation. That was around the time that I had to head out to some of the other pieces, but he and I did get a chance to sit and talk before his presentation and touch on a lot of little questions and pieces of what's happening in the wider permaculture world, including how incredible the International Permaculture Convergence was in Cuba. I'm planning to have him back on the show in the future to share his thoughts about that IPC and how we can use what he learned there to expand what we're doing as practitioners, as well as to have a conversation about permaculture and native plants. Eric's website is perennialsolutions.org. Oh, and he and I also had a moment where I was able to ask him how his next book about the toolkit for climate change was going, and he says that it looks like everything is on track, that it will be out in the spring of 2015. It's looking good, and I really am looking forward to getting my hands on a copy and being able to review it for you and share a more positive message about what we can do to create a better world. Moving back to the conference, the thing about an event like this, when there's so much going on, is that you can't attend everything. And I do wish I'd been able to have a team with me to cover the Native Plant Conference, as the next two presenters had some great information that I only caught bits and pieces of. The first of those was Mr. Edgar David, a landscape architect who works on projects integrating sustainability and nature into schools and other educational environments. He shared a number of projects that he had personally worked on through a series of pictures and explanations about how he's able to integrate so many different things and get the buy-in from others, and how he designs for students and thinks about them in the elements that he brings together. You can see some of Mr. David's work at his site, seddesignstudio.com. The second of those presentations was Derek Stoner. He's the Conservation Project Coordinator for the Delaware Nature Society. His lecture was on native plants for nesting birds, and he walked the audience through 10 different species of plants to include in their landscape, chosen for individuals living along the Piedmont Plateau, which stretches from Alabama through Georgia and up along the eastern United States through Pennsylvania and into New Jersey, where it ends. Mr. Stoner's focused discussion allowed him to show very illustrative images that walked us through the details of how the chosen plant species provided benefits, such as food, building material, or nesting locations for birds. I was at this presentation long enough to see 4 of the 10 species, which were elderberry, possum haul, highbush blueberry, and black willow. You can find out more about Mr. Stoner and his work at DelawareNatureSociety.org. The last presentation that I was able to cover at the conference was with Tyler Case, and because I'm still in a mushroom kick, I wound up staying for the entirety of his discussion, which he titled, More Than a Stool for Your Garden Gnome, How Edible and Medicinal Mushrooms can add new dimensions to your garden. Tyler is a listener to the show who has begun a commercial mushroom operation in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he was the reason I was reminded about the conference and reached out to the organizers to attend it. I liked Tyler's presentation because he gave a nice overview of mushrooms, the different types, where you'll find them growing, how they're grown commercially, what the good edible species are, and how to use them in the landscape. And he framed this conversation around four ways that mushrooms can help us. One, beauty. Mushrooms can add beauty to a design because they come in a variety of colors, including some that are bioluminescent, and you can see glow in the dark. Bounty. Mushrooms are food we can eat. They convert woody material and other refuse into something edible. They biodegrade, turning waste into food. But mushrooms and fungi can also be used to handle contaminants in the soil and the environment in the act of bioremediation. Bank soil. Mushrooms helped create the building blocks of soil by decomposing different materials. What Tyler shared with the audience was impressive, and I was happy to hear that it reflected a lot of the current research about mushrooms and fungi, as I understand it from my own readings, as well as including his personal experience. Tyler's professional website is mycopolitan.com, and you can read his personal blog at chickenmushrooms.com. I've asked many of these individuals and several others I met at the conference to be guests on the show. I'll let you know as we get those interviews set up and when they'll be recorded. With where the direction of the show is headed, which I'll share with you in an upcoming Permabyte, I'm planning to be in a place where I can attend this event next year with a team of individuals to cover it more fully, as well as to be out and about covering more such events. Finally, to round out this Permabyte, whether you're a plant nerd, a permaculture professional, or someone just starting out, events like the Native Plants in the Landscape Conference are a great way to get introduced to ideas and connect with individuals who are making a difference in the world. For that reason, if you go to the entry for this show at www.thepermaculturepodcast.com/2014/plants, the last picture on the page for this episode is from the dinner that followed the conference at a local restaurant. By my rough count, there were over 40 people from the conference who came, sat, and ate together after the event in order to carry on the conversation. I was personally humbled and inspired to be around so many people who care and are doing what they can to support animal habitat, to grow native plants, to educate and integrate children with the natural world, and so much more. I encourage you to find events like this in your local area, to get in touch with the organizers and the speakers that interest you, and to get involved. Together, we can spend each day creating a better world by taking care of the earth, ourselves, and each other.